is reading, which can be found on page 879 of the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
God warns us through his prophet that he sometimes shakes things up. I speak like a prophet. Can we turn it? And before the sermon, I'd like to introduce you to two people who God is going to use to shake up in very special ways some very special ministries. First of all, Vitalis, if you would stand up here. May told us about Vitalis. He is leaving this week for Korea, if you'd stand right here. And then, Winnie, if you would stand up. Winnie Young has been our summer intern for worship and creative arts, and if you'd stand right here. And Winnie, I'd like to first of all thank you. 2 weeks ago, someone came up to me and said, I wasn't sure as a Union Church. All the words were spelled right on the songs we were singing. And Winnie, behind the scenes, has been working in this area and the creative arts, and we'd like to thank you, Winnie, for shaking me up in my views of worship. And we want to pray for you as you head back to Wheaton College. And I think you're going to really shake people up in Korea, because you've really shaken some people up here. And your passion for Jesus Christ, your ability to proclaim him, has been spectacular. So I invite at this time anyone who would like to stand up and pray with us as we kind of dedicate these two special servants. I'm a little sad because this is their last Sunday with us. But I thought some people from Chongqing and maybe some of the staff could stand up, and let's just have a moment of prayer for these two very special servants of God. Almighty God, we thank you for the amazing story of Vitalis. We thank you for the way you are going to use him. Father, we pray that as he goes to Korea and studies theology, that you will make him a fervent servant of your word. Father, we thank you ahead of time for the ministry that you have for him. As he goes to a new place, we ask that your journey and mercies would be with him. And Father, remind him how much you love him. Remind him how much we love him and the support that he has here in Hong Kong. Father, we thank you for Wendy. We thank you for her willingness to work behind the scenes. Father, we thank you for our whole worship team and the way they continue to grow and provide excellence in worship and praise. Father, we ask that you would allow us to continue to grow as we seek to work together in unity to bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for your willing servant, Winnie, and her willingness to work with us this summer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Does anybody know now President Obama's campaign and victory song? It was written by Stevie Wonder. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. And I won't try to sing it for you. You can get it on YouTube. But I think it's an interesting song, and I think it's an interesting concept. And in the passage before us today, a very old prophet by the name of Haggai.
has two prophecies. The first one was given on December 18, 520 BC, and it had to do with, now that you have begun rebuilding my temple, I will bless you. This is a prophecy to all the people who were rebuilding the temple. But then there was a second prophecy given that same day, and that was given to Zerubbabel, the head of the rebuilding efforts. And the prophet has some amazing words from the Lord. And the first is that God says, I am going to shake things up. How many of you have lives that are relatively calm right now? I don't see a single hand. And yet, you all look so calm and content. How can this be? The prophet was warning that there were going to be some political storms, there were going to be some spiritual storms, there were going to be some personal storms, and apparently we realize that there are going to be storms in our lives. And storms can be very, very discouraging. I had lunch this summer with a minister, and he's no longer serving a church. He's in another sort of ministry. And I said, how come you're no longer in a church? And he says, I'm not mean enough to be a pastor. I'm going, and so I asked him, am I? He said, you are. Earlier this week, I was talking to someone who said, I don't go to church because there's so much politics in church. And I said, do you work? He said, yes. Are there politics at work? Yes, but I don't expect it at church. But there are all sorts of storms. And as Zerubbabel was rallying his people to build the temple, there were going to be some real problems. And God was preparing Zerubbabel. There are going to be storms. And friends, we need to realize this. It's a new school year. It's a new church year. We all look so refreshed from holidays, and yet, judging by the show of hands, all of us are going through some storms. But we pretend we're not. We have a smiley face, but down deep, each one of us is really, really struggling. And we don't know what's going to happen next. And we don't want the Lord to shake up our lives. We want the Lord to calm our lives. The first wonderful worship song we sang about, when we get to heaven, it's going to be just fantastic, but we're not there yet, are we? And so God, through his prophet, tells Zerubbabel, and he tells us, there will be storms. But then, very interesting, he makes a promise. Turn to verse 23. On that day, declares the Lord, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring. We'll get back to that for a second. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, please turn to Psalm 70. Psalm 78, verse 70. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. Now we might miss this, but it's interesting that the promise that Haggai makes is the same one that the psalmist says. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. Now we go back to Haggai chapter 2. I will take you. It's the same Hebrew word, and it means to hold on to you, to embrace you, to love you, to care for you. I will take you, my servant, even as he called David a servant, for I have chosen you. And then if you don't mind going to the New Testament, go to Matthew chapter 1. The genealogy of Jesus. I won't read the whole genealogy, but I'll start with verse 12. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of, and then go down to 16, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. So this promise to Zerubbabel was an astonishing promise. And we must not miss the fact that God is saying, my servant David, I chose, I hold in the palm of my hand. You are my servant. I hold you in the palm of my hand, and I have chosen you. You are of the lineage of David, and that's going to continue. And then in the New Testament, we know it continues to Jesus, the Messiah. You have been chosen. You are loved. You are my servant. Remember those things when the storm comes. And then he says, you will be my signet ring. Anyone here have a signet ring? Oh, got a few. We had a whole bunch of people with Scottish signet rings at the first service. Now, what is a signet ring? Pastor May was coaching me before the service to try to pronounce the name of the first emperor of China in 221, who united the first dynasty, and I can't say it. But he was the first emperor. He united the country. He started the Great Wall of China, and when he was buried, they put a whole bunch of terracotta soldiers in with him. Really an impressive guy. In 221 BC, he had a special signet ring made that said, whoever wears this ring will have prosperity and a long reign. And it passed from dynasty to dynasty from 221 BC till sometime in the Ming Dynasty when it was lost. But for like 1,200 years, this ring was passed from emperor to emperor to emperor. To show what? First of all, authority. Secondly, authenticity. And thirdly, affirmation. So a signet ring, whether you're wearing it today or you were the Chinese emperor or you were, where are some examples of signet rings in Scripture? Joseph. Remember Pharaoh? When Pharaoh made Joseph number two man, he took off his signet ring and gave it to him. Again, to show authority and power, to show authenticity, and to show affirmation. And so as Zerubbabel is just starting the task of rebuilding the temple, and it's going to take some time, and he's going to have storms from within and from storms from without, he says, I want you to remember who you are in relation to God. God has chosen you. He will hold you in his hands. You are his servant. And you are to be a seal, a signet ring, a guarantee that he who began a good work will bring it to completion. Well, here we are, starting a new church year. We don't know what the future holds at school, at home, at work, or at church. There are probably going to be storms, major and minor. Are we going to say, well, that was really nice that God affirmed that prophet back then, but what does he have to say for us today? And I think even as Zerubbabel was, okay, I got a phone call during the first service, and now I get a text message the second. Sorry about that. How many of us really feel chosen? How many of us really feel beloved? How many of us really feel that we are God's servant? And how many of us really feel that we are God's signet ring? You know, when Jesus prepared to go back to heaven, what did he tell his disciples? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I'm giving it to you. There's a power and authority available to each person who follows Jesus Christ that's just spectacular. And where is our identity? In how we perform at work, at home, at school? Or is our identity in the fact that, it's not what we've done. We have been chosen. Remember the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15? The guy was a complete mess up. And he comes home and he says, Father, I'm not even worthy to be your son. And what does the father do? He gives him his ring. That's the identity we have. It is in Christ. Now, I tried to come into Hong Kong a week and a half ago, and I put my thumb on that fancy little machine, and guess what happened? Didn't work. My thumb doesn't work. I created this giant queue of people behind me who were in the fast track, like me, Hong Kong residents. What's going on? Finally, an official had to come and take me out of line and examine me very carefully and make sure my identity card and my passport and everything was in order. And I felt, oh my goodness, I've lost my identity. But friends, we don't lose our identity. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. We can be people with his authority. We can be people with his authenticity and identity. And we can be people who are affirmed by him. Not because of the good things we've done, but because of the love that he has for us. And that should make a profound difference in the way we live. In 1964, there was a conflict between Malaysia and Indonesia. And it looked like the British Army was going to have to go into action. So who did the British Army call? The Gurkhas. And a British officer met with the Gurkhas and said, "We would like to parachute you in behind enemy lines." And the Gurkhas, who'd never parachuted before, turned the British Army down. This had never happened. The army was stunned, but the next day an NCO from the Gurkhas came back and said, "We've been talking about it, and we've decided we were wrong to refuse you. So we're willing to jump, but we have several conditions." The first condition is, we don't want to jump on rocks. Could you land us in a marsh or somewhere soft? And they said, "Well, actually, we're going to drop you behind enemy lines in a jungle, so I don't think you're going to have to worry about rocks." And then the NCO said, "Well, the second condition is that we'd like the plane to fly real slow and not over 100 feet above the ground." And the British officer said, "We do fly real slow when we drop people out of planes, but we don't fly at 100 feet above the surface because there wouldn't be time for the parachutes to open." The Gurkha officer, "Oh, parachutes, you didn't say anything about that. We'll be glad to do it." And the British officer was astonished. These guys were willing to jump out of a plane. But once they found out they had a parachute, they were really willing to jump out of a plane. You know, I wish there were more spiritual adventurers like Vitalis and Winnie that were not afraid to do some amazing things for God. Because, friends, the message that Zerubbabel got from the prophet is, you are secure. God is in control. God can shake things up, but God can protect and bring security to your life as long as you follow him. Are we going to have just another boring year together? Are you going to look back at this next year saying, "This was a year of fantastic spiritual growth for me"? Are you going to look back and say, "This was a year when there was a spiritual adventure that I really think God wants me to do, and I've just been afraid, but this year I'm going to trust in his promises"? You've heard me quote Mother Teresa many times. I love her phrase. She says, "God will overrule us all." God is in control. We're not. The storms and suffering that we go through, really, we sometimes don't have much control over. But the prophet reminded Zerubbabel that God is in control, that he loves us and he cares for us and he has chosen us. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 26, "And at that time his voice shook the earth, But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things that they cannot be shaken, that what is cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Friends, we serve a powerful God, and he is going to shake up our lives, and he is going to shake up his world for his glory. And we have the privilege of being part of that adventure, knowing that we can be affirmed, that we can be authentic, and we have an authority that's not our own as we reach out beyond our puny desires and dreams and try to figure out what God has for us as we begin an amazing spiritual adventure. I pray that for myself. I pray that for each of you. I pray that for this congregation. There were a group of disgruntled, unhappy people who returned to Jerusalem. They were going to rebuild the temple, and then they got distracted. And the old prophet Haggai said, hey, forget your own selfishness and focus on rebuilding the temple. And they found peace, and they found blessing. And they found out that they were part of something much bigger than themselves. And that's the same promise that God offers to us. They were rebuilding the temple, hoping for a Messiah. Well, friends, the Messiah came in Jesus Christ, and he's willing to transform your life and use you to transform his world. Let's stand for a closing song.